the book of Jeremiah. And we come today to Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 1. And we will look at chapters 35 and 36 today. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, our 18th study begins in Jeremiah chapter 35. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Now the Rechabites were a group of people. Actually, they were descendants of Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. And they came into the land of promise with the Israelites, but they wanted to remain separate from Israel, independent, so they chose to live in tents rather than in fixed places. And it says in verse 3, Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazimiah, his brothers, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. Now, this Jaazaniah was a leader of the Rechabites, okay? And it says in verse 4, And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And it says in verse 5, Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, Drink wine. Well, Jeremiah, it's important to see that Jeremiah is the one who told these men to drink wine. He did not say, God commands you to drink wine. Now, if God would have commanded it, then they would have been bound to obey, and they would have obeyed. But he didn't say that, and there's a reason he didn't say that. Let's read on. But they said, we shall drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. And so the issue here is not the father's specific command, but rather the obedience of his offspring. That's what I want you to see. It's not so much that the father said, don't drink wine. That is the issue. The issue is they obeyed what their ancestor told them. And now, verse 7. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Now, they were strangers in the land which belonged to Israel. They were sojourners. They were strangers. It wasn't their land. And so their heart wasn't with the things of the land because they were just staying there for the time being. And it does raise an interesting principle. Our hearts should not be too caught up in the things of this world as Christians. We are just staying here for a while on our way to our eternal home. Verse 8, Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. They obeyed their forefather in all areas and at all times. Now, these guys were faithful to their forefathers, and that's the point. God wants his people to see how faithful the Rechabites were to their forefather. Verse 11. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Now, the only time these Rechabites made an exception and didn't live on their own in a tent was when they had to move to Jerusalem for their own safety's sake. And that was because Babylon was conquering the land. And it was a good thing that they obeyed their forefathers, because as a result of being obedient to him and not having the things of this world, not even a permanent home, they didn't have earthly possessions, and that made it much easier for them to move into the city for a while. Not everybody could pack up like they did so easily. And now, here's the issue, verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for to this day they drink none, and they obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. And so for more than 200 years, the Rechabites obeyed their forefather, even though he was dead for a long, long time. And that's in contrast to the Israelites, who would not obey the living God, who had pleaded with them and warned them to obey for centuries. Verse 15. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now, everyone, from his evil way. Amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor obeyed me. God was only asking for what is reasonable. He even included a wonderful promise if his people would only do what was reasonable. But guess what? They wouldn't. They would not. Verse 16, surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me. They were doomed. They were doomed. And rightfully so. They were in big trouble. You know? The point is this. They should have obeyed God. I mean, if the Rechabites obeyed their ancestor, then they should have obeyed God, because God is much more important than the word of an ancestor. Therefore, thus says the Lord of God of hosts, verse 17, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard, and I have called to them, but they have not answered. They were doomed. Not because they sinned. Really, it wasn't because they sinned, because we all sin. They were doomed because they would not repent of their sin, and they would not ask for God's forgiveness. The sin that dooms people is the sin of rejecting forgiveness through the Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 18. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you. And, you know, he says in verse 19, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever, whoever his posterity may be, wherever they are, God knows. And the Lord is blessing them because of their faithfulness to their ancestor, because they said they would do it, and they did it. And God's people should have been at least that faithful to Almighty God. Now, let's go into chapter 36. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll of the book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. And so the word of God, which had been revealed to the prophet for the previous 22 years, God says that must be written down. This is a very important principle to see. God's word is God's word, even when it is spoken. But if it is his word, then God wants it written down, and he wants it preserved so that people can read it and meditate on it. Verse 4, it says, Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book, at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who came from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and every one will turn from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against his people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And so we see from this that Baruch, Jeremiah's assistant, read the word of God on the day and in the place where the most people would be gathered. Verse 9. Now it came to pass, in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Then Baruch read from the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. Well, they may have fasted. It says they fasted. But if they harbor sin, which they did, then they were wasting their time fasting. They should have had a big meal, because it didn't mean anything to God. Verse 16, or verse 11. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house, to the scribe's chamber, and there all the princes were sitting. Elishama, the scribe, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, the son of Achor, Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. And it says in verse 13, Then Micaiah declared to them all the words which he had heard when Baruch read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, to Baruch, saying, Take in your hand the scroll which you have read in the hearing of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them. And they said to him, Sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Baruch read it in their hearing. Now it happened, when they had heard all the words, that they looked in fear from one to another, and said to Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And so the godly ones were afraid, because they saw how they had offended God. The wicked ones were afraid, because they knew a horrible punishment was heading their way. Verse 17. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how did you write all these words at his instruction? So Baruch answered them, He proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princes said to Baruch, Go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. Well, the good people, whose hearts were changed by the word of God, instructed Jeremiah and his assistants to hide. They knew the unrepenting sinners would try to kill them because they spoke the unpopular truth of God's word. Verse 20. And it says they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. And so they left the word of God in the fellow's office, in Elishama's office, where it would be safe. They didn't take it in by the king. Perhaps they knew that the king would respond the way he did. So the king, verse 21, sent Jehudah to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. And so the court messenger brings the word of God to the king, and it's read. It says, now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it was December. And so the king is sitting by the fire trying to stay warm. 23, and it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And the reason the word of God angered the king is because he was ungodly, and it contained a warning that he was about to be punished for his ungodliness. The fact that the word of God did not scare him into repenting, but rather caused him to blasphemy, was even more proof that he deserved every bit of punishment that he was about to receive. 24. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. They showed that they had no fear of God whatsoever. Verse 25. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Delaiah, and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And so some, or at least three anyway, of the king's advisors tried to stop him. They tried to stop him from burning the word of God, but he would not listen. 26, and the king commanded Jerahmeel, the king's son, Sarai, the son of Aziel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to seize Baruch the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid him. God did not allow the king's men to find and arrest Jeremiah and his assistant. I guess the king thinks that if he burns the Bible or kills God's preachers, then he can make God in his anger toward him go away too. But he's, of course, going about this the wrong way. If the king would only humble himself and repent, then he would cause God's anger to run away, or go away, I should say. But he's too stubborn to do it. You know, there's only one way to find forgiveness and quench God's anger, and that's to repent. You're not going to intimidate God or fight against God and get him to give up. That way, it's just not going to work. 27. It says, now, after the king had burned this... After the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah has burned. Well, you know, if the king wants to play games with God and burn the Bible, God has all the time in the world, and he has plenty of paper to continue to rewrite everything that the king burns. And, you know, you're not gonna outdo God that way or any other way. 29. verse 29 says, "And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here?" The king was venting his rage when he burnt the word of God. And he especially, as we can see from these verses, which is really no surprise, from this verse, I should say, he especially did not like that part of the Word of God where God said that the king was going to be punished. That's the part that really irked him. Too bad it was true, and he brought it on himself. Verse 30, "Therefore thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out into the heat of the day and the frost of the night," meaning not only will the king be captured, not only will he be taken into exile, but his exile is going to be a miserable one. He will not be shown any kind of respect. He will not be treated with any kind of dignity. He is a very proud man to burn the word of God. Well, he will be humbled. 31. God says, "I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and on the men of Judah, all the doom that I pronounced against them, but they did not heed." The king's children acted just like their father, so they will be punished just like their father. 32. "Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it, at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words." Jeremiah wrote his book of the Bible again, just as God instructed. Plus, he added many more words from God. No one is going to outdo God. No one's going to outbattle God. You know, people have tried to stamp out the Bible. They have boasted how they're going to destroy Christianity, destroy the memory of Jesus, and wipe out the Word of God from the face of the earth. And you know what happens? They all die. And the Bible is here more than ever, selling more copies than ever, because it is the Word of God. And people can burn Bibles, but God's going to have more printed, because he's the one who's in control, not puny, sinful man. Well, we'll pick it up in chapter 37 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.